Tonight, the lesson's on all you can do is wait. And I think what maybe sprung this lesson was going to the doctor's office and standing in the doctor's office and also standing in the line at the Sam's Club for the pharmacy. Let's turn to James, the 5th chapter, verses 7 through 11. This is the basis for the lesson. James 5, 7 through 11. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your heart, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourself may not be judged before the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealing, and the Lord is full of compassion and mercy, and is merciful. The lesson, like I said, really was sort of sprung over the fact of waiting. Each of us have times in our lives where we wait. And I know it can be hard not to get upset over waiting. But we know that the Lord has promised us that eventually the end of time will come. We may be here, we may not be here. But we can have the home in heaven as long as we keep his will and do what he tells us to. Most of us are not good at waiting. I'm not. I got to the point to where I actually went to the pharmacist and the prescription wasn't there. I went back. I called the doctor first and I called the nurse. It still didn't come. I went back to the doctor's office and I said, you know, I called you and everything else. I said, are they going to send the prescription? Yeah, it ought to be over there very shortly. Went back over. It wasn't there. The next day it wasn't there. And then I get a phone call the next morning saying, oh, your prescription's at the pharmacist. I didn't lose it. I did good. But we all don't like to wait. We want things to happen sooner instead of later. We want things to be to fall in the proper order. We don't want to give up. We want it done, and we want it done quickly. So having to wait is really not our favorite thing. And in the scriptures, we can see it wasn't a favorite thing for a lot of people in the scriptures. There's some situations that we go through on waiting. I think of probably the most one that I've had the most problems with was when we first decided to move down here. I did not want to move into this area. My wife wanted to come down and look at houses, so we looked at houses. We drove around for 2 years and looked at a house and looked at a house. We looked for churches because we wanted to find a church that we'd be comfortable in. And during the same time, we were waiting for a grandchild too. And, you know, they only come whenever they're ready to come. You don't have any say at all in it. It's going to happen. The other thing is you cannot hurry growth. The church here, you know, at times it's the numbers are down, sometimes they're up. We'd like to see it grow. We'd like to see it grow and be steady at a nice rate. I'm like Bruce. I really kind of like 80, 90s. You know, that's a nice, comfortable congregation. But maybe it could be like Greg was saying today, 1,200 where he's at. And he says it's not comfortable. I feel the same way. We must wait for the consequences of the past. And what I'm thinking about is when you say, what do you mean wait for the consequences of the past? 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I hit a rock in the road while I was pulling my car behind my motorhome. And it tore the transmission up. It cost $1,000 to fix it. And my insurance went up $400 a year. And it's going to be that way for 5 years. After 5 years, then I might get back to where I was. But you end up paying. And that's the consequences that you have to pay for. We cannot hurry the course of diseases, which we wish we could. We don't have any control of healing and recovery times, which I wish we did. So we need to learn, or should, be patient and waiting. Yes, we would like to get to the outcome, that retirement, that house, that church. I mean, that all has happened for me. The thing with the car, it's still up in the air for another year or two. But we're bound by time and space for what's going to happen. It's only going to happen in a certain amount of time and a certain amount of space. But eventually it'll happen. Thus, waiting is an unavoidable reality, and it won't happen until it's time. That baby didn't come until it was 9 months. She said it was 9 months and 2 weeks, but I think it was just 9 months. You wait for him to walk. I can remember my granddaughter I took and I hooked balloons to her, the type that float. And I had them all hanging on her, and we were down there on Christmas, and I was trying to get her to walk across the floor. But when we left there after Christmas, she was walking. So I don't know if the balloons had anything to do with it, but I concentrated real hard. But we all want that to happen. You know, waiting can make you very nervous. Waiting can make you feel a little uptight, a lot of anxiety. Can make you be very edgy and very mean. And I can remember the time when the doctor, whenever I was working, had an appointment, and an hour and a half later, I got in. And when I got in there and he came in and I said, you know what, I'll have a bill for you afterwards. I said, I think I make pretty close to about the same as you do. And I think that my time is just as valuable as yours. And that's true. Some people don't look at your time and don't think about it. But I got some scriptures I want us to look at. Romans 12:12. You know, this verse is just a very short verse, but it has really four items or six items in it. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, and devoted to prayer. You know, that hope, you know, we need to rejoice in hope. And you know, the prayer, we need to devote our time to prayer. We need to try and pray anytime we're wanting the help of God. And we always are going to be suffering and going through tribulations and pain. Also, 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse 4. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 4. It talks about enduring with faith and patience. All these scriptures I'm giving you is what we have to go through while we're waiting for Christ to come to return. It's so 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecution and afflictions which you endured. Can we say that we are enduring all the struggles and all the pains and all the things that we go through? We should be. Sometimes it's hard, but... And the other one I want to read while you're still in 2 Thessalonians, go to chapter 3. and go down to verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. May the Lord direct your heart into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ. We just have to endure. We have to endure in our lives. Another scripture I want to read is Revelations, the first chapter, verse 9. This is tribulations and patience. Bruce in class this morning was talking about John, and since we're studying John. First chapter, verse 9. John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulations and the kingdom and the perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I seem to be losing this, so I guess I'll go back to my leash. It's dangerous to be impatient and waiting. You can get sidetracked, you can get off in the wrong direction. Already mentioned is the potential of getting discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged when you're waiting for something. I remember my grandfather liked to cook all the time, and he told me, he says, don't watch the eggs boil. They'll boil, don't worry. He says, it takes longer if you watch them. It doesn't, but it's something. Rash words and actions come out of impatience. Think of Job. I think about Job in the second chapter, verse 9, when his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. She got impatient. She got, how long are you going to hang around? Let's give up. Another case is Sarah. Sarah was misguided and wanted Abraham to have an heir. And she gave her handmaiden to him so that he could produce an heir. But God already had plans on where the heir was going to come from. It's going to come from Sarah. But waiting we must. We have to wait. So how can we wait patiently? Now, I've got ways that we can do this. And I studied a little bit, and I found out that there is. And the Scripture even tells us there's ways. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 18, this is one of the ways. Ephesians 6, 18. It's wait and prayer. With all prayers and petitions, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petitions for all the saints. We can get through time and problems by going to God in prayer. Beyond the obvious benefits of prayer, it has ways of reinforcing attention to God. Whenever you're praying, who are you thinking about? You're thinking about God. Who are you talking to? You're talking to God. And you bring the stray thoughts back into the proper order. You are putting God first in your life. So prayers are very important whenever we go and talk to God. There's also waiting and thanksgiving. If you go to Colossians, the first chapter, verse 11. Colossians 1, 11. And verse 12, too. Strengthen with all power according to his glorious might. For giving thanks, his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the faith in light, the saints in light. I had trouble reading that. Sorry about that. Note how God is in our life, and he gains the patience, which gives us the joy and the willingness to share our inheritance. You know, we get to the point where we are thankful that God is there and he helps us. And we want other people to see that too. We want other people to be involved with that gift that we have whenever we go to God. What better way is there in waiting than to be aware of God's blessing in our lives and recounting with joy his benevolent deeds and kindness he has given us? You know, I can look back. I can look at a million things in my life where God's been there and he's given me blessings. He's been there to protect me and watch over me and keep me. I think one of the biggest struggles I ever had was being away from my wife and her being away from me for a year. And I was in Vietnam, out in the middle of the ocean, up a river in Da Nang Harbor. And it was a time where we couldn't communicate because we was on a secret mission, even though it was on television. But we were not allowed to send letters back and forth. And she had to hear her friends saying, "I seen your husband's ship. I seen your husband's ship. He was in the river and things were blowing up around it." And it was a scary thing. I prayed every night. I prayed all the time. Not every night, all the time. I prayed that I'd safely get back. I prayed my wife was okay and my kid was okay and that everything was going to be all right. And it's a funny thing. It helped me. It kept me strong. It kept me close to God and it kept me close to my family, even though they were 1,000 miles away and a year away in time. Waiting, doing work for the Lord, remembering, makes me remember the song which I asked him to sing, "Work for the Night is Coming." The night is coming for all of us. It's going to get sooner for some people than other people, but it is coming. In Romans 2, verse 6, "Who will render to each person according to his deeds? To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." And immortality and eternal life. Yes, the different events in our lives can cause waiting to become difficult. The world's problems, which we were mentioning this morning, moves into our lives, gives us less room for God to be in there. We sort of let him get pushed off to the side, if we allow that. Our focus must always be maintained on the goals that lies ahead of us, the race that we need to run. I like the verses which are coming up because I think Bruce would have loved to have him on the cross-country team that he's on. He's always talking about the race and the goal that lies ahead. And that's what we are. We're in a race now. We're in a race in our life. We've got a goal. And we're reaching out for that goal. So at the end of time, we'll have a home in heaven. It says wait and hope and endurance and diligence and patience. In Hebrews 6, verse 11 and 12. Hebrews 6, verse 11 and 12. "And we desire that each one of you should show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherited the promise." You know, he talks about the diligence, the same diligence, you know, looking forward and seeing what people have done before. They've hung in there. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in verse 1, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so eagerly entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's still that race. Not only can we act rashly in waiting, we can also become diligent and careless about our ultimate goal. You know, we can get sidetracked and forget where we're going. In James, which I read in the first part, but this is James 5 and verse 8. I just want to pick that one verse out. You too, be patient. Strengthen your heart, for the coming of the Lord is near. We need to realize that the Lord is near. He's every day it's a little bit nearer. Is a time of building up your heart. Waiting is a time for confidence, not doubt. A time for shoring up and not tearing down. We should be constantly building on our faith. We should become stronger and stronger and stronger, do more and more to make us stronger and to believe in Christ. Another thing we're waiting for is, and we get help with, is in the Scriptures. In Romans 15, verse 4, and it says, for whatever was written in early times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance in the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. That's the one thing we were talking about in, I think it was the Wednesday night class. But we have the Old Scripture, the Old Testament, which gives us so much information about the people of the past, what they went through and the struggles they went through and how they had to remain faithful to God. It helps us. We read and strengthen ourselves to see what they did. I know sometimes we question, boy, how many times they got to be put into slavery, but it does help us and it does strengthen us. Listen to God through His Word is especially helpful in patient waiting. It is instructive. It is consoling. It confirms our goal, and it gives us all the encouragement we can need. I know whenever, every day I read one or two chapters out of the Old Testament. I like to go through, I'll start through a book and I'll go and I'll read it and read it and read it and so it's out and go on and on. I just love to read the old stories and the different things which happen. Any kind of waiting situation help us to develop in His Word. Waiting is rarely easy, especially when we are waiting on God's timetable. But waiting can become a wonderful opportunity if we fill it with good things, working for God. And that's what we should be doing. I had an opportunity today to invite somebody to service. They turned me down. I'll still ask them again. I try to do that every day. I have to hurry up and work on the people in my neighborhood because they're all getting up there in age. But it's one thing that we should do. We shouldn't pass up the opportunity. I remember whenever I was RVing, we had a member of the church. His name was Leon Bridges. He was going blind. I don't know if you ever met him. Have you? Leon Bridges was going blind, and he decided he was going to memorize the Bible. And he's had a lot of scriptures memorized, and he started working memorizing them. And anyway, we camped up in Oak City Canyon, and we're camped there. And we went way, far away from the place where we were possibly could go, and parked. And we parked together. We put our motorhomes there side by side. And we commenced to walk back up to where the meeting was. And as we went up there, he'd stop by, and if there somebody was out there, and he'd come, he says, "Hi, my name's Leon Bridges, and this is my friend Hugh Lukinas, and, you know, we got a church group up here." And he says, what do you think of God? What do you think of Jesus Christ?" And he says, "Well, I think, you know, I believe in him." And he says, "Good." He says, "Well, we're up there, you know, you're welcome to come up there and meet with us." He would sit down and start talking with anybody about Christ. He never passed anybody up. If you were out there, if he walked into the store, he'd tell you about Christ. He'd come up with a reason to start talking to you. "Why, look at that magazine article. The guy said that, you know, he heard God speak to him." He'd bring things up like that. And it's amazing. The guy, and I was really surprised, Bruce, since you knew him. He's what they call a sojourner. And they would go from place to place and stay and visit with the people. His place where he liked to work at the most was up in Wyoming, where there was a couple congregations that went up there where there was no men, just women, which meant there. He told me about a situation where he ran across a group in Winnemucca. No one brought the word to him. They studied, they were Mormons, and they studied themselves out of the Mormon religion. And there was 9 men up there and their wives. And it's amazing what you can do if you just try. We need to dedicate our time. We've got a lot of free time. We're waiting. And when you're waiting, you got time. There's no doubt about it. I know, Bruce, you're coaching and you're teaching and you're preaching and all that stuff. But I bet you still have time. Still got plenty of time. You don't need to sleep. But, you know, I wish I could present a lesson better. I mean, I put the time in it and everything else, but I find out that I've slipped along the way. My brain don't function the way it used to. And me and Dave talks about it every once in a while, and we know what the problem is. It's just sort of slipping away. But I love the study of the Bible. I love to talk to people, and I love to tell people about Jesus. And that's what everybody's goal should be. You know, this isn't a lesson to convert anybody. Anybody which is here tonight, you're a member of the church. You love God. You know, you put Jesus Christ first in your life. You're not a one-hour Christian. You spend the time. And that's what we should be doing. Let's say 4 hours. You know, Sunday school, the lesson, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It's 4 hours of your life for Christ. It's not very much, is it? It's just something that you have to realize. Can you give God 8 hours? Give him 8 hours a day. You realize how much that would do? You give him 8 hours a week, I mean. And you use that time to spread his word and tell people about him. It'll do something. But if anybody has a need, the opportunity is yours. That's why we sing the invitation song.